Alright, lift your hands and say, Father, name of your son, we receive your word with faith in our hearts. In this service, clarity is mine. Understanding is mine. It's ours today. Together as a church, we hold Jesus Christ, your son, even as he sees us in him. He's glorified. We're edified. Amen. Matthew's Gospel 20. We want to look at filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. Paul gave that instruction in Ephesians 5:18. Be filled with the Spirit. That's the instruction. Ephesians 5:18. But look at Matthew's Gospel 28. Matthew's Gospel 28. You know, in the second service, I was talking about the importance of having details and knowing things well. And I mentioned some, and I deliberately do this, of course. Was it last week I talked about Fred Price, Dr. Price? It was last week, okay. And I think from listening to him in my earlier years, I knew that if you want people to understand something, you teach it very well. And Dr. Price was such a fellow like that, a man who would, in fact, he would teach for a long time, then the next week he would go over the one for last week. I've not perfected that one well, but he would go over last week's one well enough so that if you missed last week, you understand that one. I'll do that one for you. You know, and I was talking about some wonderful women who were used of God. I knew them because I mentored them. But they got themselves exposed to some strange theology, and that says that a woman should not be a pastor, you know, and should not be in the ministry. And they stopped altogether. Some even stopped speaking in tongues altogether. Say it's not a gift for them. Now you wonder, after being mightily used of God, and then you come to that conclusion. Now, I'm not castigating them. Not at all. Not at all. I've had people too who are men, my friends. When I say friends, I know them. And they were also very used of God. And they just said, I don't think so. Now, I didn't want to blame them. Because I'll feel, I love to think about, what did I teach? Was I explanatory enough? So I took a decision years back to be more detailed. I know some folks find it boring. Some few people literally like it. Someone told me, he said, what the gospel reveals? No, teaching the Old Testament. That's 2016. He said, after a while, I felt like saying, Pastor, we believe. We believe. This is too much. You know, so that you will understand it. Hallelujah. Because how would you be used of God? Then you come to that conclusion that it wasn't God. That's quite some knowledge you got there. And so I went to that in the first service. That's why I believe, for example, that I'm thinking of another book on women. Hallelujah. A series in church. Because I think there's some things that you must say over and over again. So it can dawn on people. And I knew that this required more explanation. Hallelujah. So it's good to know what you know very well. Is that clear? Know what you know very well. To the glory of God. I'm a few years in the ministry. But from the time I took a turn to be committed to the ministry and the ministry of the word, I have never had a reason to change my convictions. There's no reason for it. I've never. Because there's no reason for it. So it's good to be well established. Don't just join. There was something that Victor was using back then, those days. He calls it angelic anointing. You know, if I remember the song he sang then, that all of us we are just doing. So you as a person, you do not have a clear-cut understanding. And that's why personal study is very important. When I say personal study, I don't mean to go and get the Bible and say the Spirit is telling you nonsense. I mean, after you have learned the word like this, what we have done for you is to give you how to read your Bible. So when you pick your Bible, You look at through the references. You go through the text. You check it up yourself. You further read. You say, wow. You are persuaded. You need that task in your life. Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel 20. Are you in church? Filled with the Spirit. What did I say? All right. I think we have one says being filled. So change this one. It's filled. Just filled. Don't put being. Filled. So I know the difference. Verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority that was power given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Verse 19. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Mark's Gospel 16. We have quite some references this afternoon, so pay very good attention and be quick. One day I'm going to teach you how to take notes here and open your Bible at the same time. Some of you are struggling with it. When should I teach you? Now, not now. Walk in your own faith for now. I'm going to, because I do that too. Listen, right? Listen, open the text. You should be able to do that. I'll teach you that. Mark 16. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. Verse 17, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils, that's what demons. They shall speak with new tongues. 18, they shall take up serpents. They shall hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. That's what they there. 19, so then after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up unto heaven and sat on the right hand of God. 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with and confirming the word with signs following them. He says, amen. Now, I want you to pay attention to two things. Now, in the two texts we have read, in Matthew 28, verse 20, it says, lo, I am with you. And I told you before, that is not a set of pronouns. It's a proper name. Exodus 3:14, I am that I am, and I will be what I'll be. Ayah, or Yahweh. Same word, ego am I. E-G-O-E-I-M-I in the Greek. But it is ego am I meth. I'm on. E-G-O-E-M-E-I-M-I M-E-T-H H-Y-M-O-N. Ego am I meth. I'm on. I am with you. It's together. I am with you is God's name. Alright? So God's name is I am with you. Not just I am, but I am with you. Then it is always. So, one of God's names, did I say that? The name of God describes his everlasting covenant to say, I am with you. Now, look at that Mark 16:20. There's an emphasis we mustn't lose. It says, the Lord walking with. The Lord walking with. The Lord walking with. Now, if I make a statement now, I say, well, we walk together, or we walk in the same place, sorry. And then you say, the guy may be working for the audit department, and you are working for the inspection. Even though you walk in the same place, but you don't walk together. You're not doing the same things. Now, the word walking with here is the word sunegio, S-U-R-N-E-G-O. I hope I'm right. S-U-N-N-E-R-G-O. Sonegio. It's S-U-N-E-R-G-O. S-U-N-S-U-N-E-R-G-O. Sorry for that. Now, I want you to observe that word in a verb and a noun. In Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. All things work together for good. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 16. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 16. He helpeth us and laboreth with us. Then pay attention to 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1. We then, as workers, together with, workers together, than James 2:21. James 2:21. Was not Abraham justified, rather by works, when he offered his son upon the altar? Then verse 22. Seeing then how faith wrought with his works. So that means we are seeing his faith by his works. That's the word sunagio. You see it by the other one. Look at the adjective. Sonegos is the adjective. S-U-N-E-R-G-O-S. In Romans 16 and verse 3. Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers. Verse 9. Salute Urban, our helper in Christ. Verse 21. Timothy, my work fellow. So it means people that are working together, achieving the same goal. But stronger than that, it means one working through the other and vice versa. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9. We are laborers together with God. 2 Corinthians 1 24. 2 Corinthians 8 23. 2 Corinthians 1, 24 and 8, 23. Now look at Philippians 2, 25. Talking about Timothy here. Epaphroditus, sorry. Philippians 2, 25. My companion in labor, fellow soldier. Fellow soldier. Philippians 4, verse 3. Yoke fellow. Fellow laborers. Colossians 4, 11. 1 Thessalonians 3, 2. Fellow laborers. People who are doing the same thing. Who are walking the same way. Philemon 1, 1. And Philemon 24. Philemon 1, 1. Fellow laborer. Philemon 24. Fellow laborers. 3 John 8 is about evil. So you have this. It means that God is working through the word that we preach. And the word is working through God. So you cannot separate God and the message that we preach. He is in the message. He is in the message. So when you preach the word, God's word is powerful. God's word has God's power. God's word has God in it. The message we preach has God in it. He is a fellow laborer with the message. The Lord working with. So which means that when Jesus gave them what to preach, he gave them himself. So we are not just messengers of a message, we are messengers of a person in the message. Hallelujah. I love what Brother Higgins used to say. God's word in itself is anointed. That is, God's word is anointed. All the power that God has in his word. So, as he sends us to preach, he is in his word. Look at Luke 24:49. Luke 24:49. We're looking at filled with the Spirit. Say filled with the Spirit. Luke 24:49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. I send the promise of my Father. Promise. I would love you to take a hold of that word promise, because we're going to use it. We're going to mention it again. Epangelia. That's the word promise. It means a self-commitment to do it by yourself. Now, Acts 1:4, so let's look at that promise. Acts 1:4, don't forget, Luke wrote the book of Acts. Acts 1:4, wait for the promise of my Father, which you have heard of me. wait for the promise of my Father, which you have heard of me. Can we take five together? John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. So, being baptized with the Holy Ghost is the promise of the Father. Verse 8. You shall receive power, after which the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The promise of the Holy Ghost. So, Jesus, in teaching them, again, we'll keep mentioning this. In Luke's Gospel 25 to 27, Luke tells us that what he did was to teach from Genesis to Malachi. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. In 44, these are the words which I said to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Pay attention to verse 45, Luke's Gospel 24. Then he opened their understanding, that they might read the scriptures together. Is that very clear? Is that very clear? So that means I must at all times, one, read Genesis to Malachi together as a singular book. Then now, read Genesis to Malachi with the four gospels as a singular book. Then as we go further, read Genesis to Malachi, then Matthew to Acts as a singular book. And as I go further, I read Genesis to Malachi, Matthew to Acts, then Romans, the book of Revelation, as a singular book. In other words, they explain each other. When I see a phrase in the epistles, I must look for it in the Old Testament. The story, the narrative of that concept is always found in the Old Testament. So when Jesus says, "Lo, I am with you," we said it's a proper name. Ego, emi, meth, imon. It's a singular name. Always, till the end. But that's not the first time Matthew is going to write about that. Matthew's Gospel 28 verse 20. Look at Matthew 1:23. In Matthew 1:23, when the angel had that encounter with Joseph, he says, "I'll start from 22. In fact, I'll start from 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins." Now, I want to read verse 22 together. Matthew 1. Can we go? "Now, all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet." So, hold on. Which means that even the angel was carrying out the words of Scripture. Now, notice what is in 20. "That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." I want you to look at Luke's account of that with Mary. Luke 1. Verse 35, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee." The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. A phrase we're going to see both in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The Spirit of God upon the waters, the face of the waters. And then we also see it in Numbers 11. Verse 25, 26, verse 29 and 30. We'll come to that later. So, in Matthew 1, again, "You shall call his name Jesus," we'll come to it. "He shall save his people from their sins. All this was done," verse 22, "that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the Lord, by the prophet, saying," 23, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth his son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel," with being interpreted, "is God with us." Are you noticing there is seemingly a contrast? "You shall call his name Jesus," in 21. "He shall save his people from their sins," in 23. "They shall call his name Emmanuel," which is God with us. Now, in verse 23, he uses the word God with us, the same word, meth, I'm on theos. He doesn't add the word I. Because if he added the word I, that would be the angel. Meth, I'm on theos. God with us. Jesus doesn't say God with us. He says, I am with you. But when the third party is reporting it, he will say what? God with us. Jesus says, I am with you. So where is this angel referencing? Of course, it's Isaiah 7:14. Emmanuel. Two words. I am and E-L. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14. But let's focus on Isaiah 8 verse 8. You shall pass through Judah, you shall overflow and go over, you shall even reach even to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of land, O Emmanuel. Isaiah 8 verse 8. Now Isaiah 8 verse 18, Isaiah now had children. I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders. Which means that the children he had became a mirror, a window to see what God will do. Let's proceed further. Now, why did he say God with us, Emmanuel? And he was referring to a child. Pay attention to the word I am, Emmanuel, with. The first time we'll see it is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. I want your full attention here. This is Eve now. She did eat, I'm reading the B part, and gave also unto her husband with her. It means together. With her. Now, don't forget that in Genesis 2:24, man and the woman were called one flesh. Echad. E-C-H-A-D. So the word with here, I am, again there's Genesis, one minute. 13 verse 1. Lot with him unto the south. Now, that word with is used for one, with, like we use it, or alike, or by, or in. This is what the apostles explored the word in Christ, in you. It shows a mutual identity with, a likeness or reflection alike. So what we have therefore by saying God with us, God like us. He wasn't before. So we say a man like God. So which means in the incarnation we're going to find a man like God. Emmanuel. Or God reflecting as a man. He's not going to walk through man now. He's going to reflect himself as a man. So, when the angel says, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Pay very good attention here. Two things are about to happen. The word Jesus is the word Joshua. So, remember in theology, names matter. Huh? Come on. Names matter. Location matters. So, why use Joshua? Why? Thou shalt call his name Yeshua. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now, Emmanuel was prophesied in the Old Testament, but not Joshua. Joshua belonged to a guy who was the assistant pastor of Moses. Okay. So that means that our focus on the name Jesus will now be on an event. Who's following this? Is that clear? So Jesus, was Jesus a common name? Huh? Jesus was a common name. Was a regular name. It wasn't a peculiar name to our Lord Jesus Christ. So today, for example, there's a Man City player called Jesus. Imagine things like they dribble Jesus. They gave Jesus a red card. You say, never! Not my Lord and Savior. Or Jesus cheated. That kind of stuff, right? Jesus cheated. Or Jesus, no, this is for, I think Chelsea players. Jesus, you're the one that spoke. Get out of the church. Jesus died. That's not good, right? So it's a common name. That word, Yoshua, has two words. It's the word Avah Yashar. A-V-A-A-H, used for Yahweh. Then Yashar. Y-A-S-H-A. We need those words because they are Exodus words. Exodus 2:17. So by the very name of Jesus, we must read Exodus. Is that very clear? Is that very clear? Come on. Are you in church? Exodus 2:17. The shepherds came and drove away Moses. He stood and helped them and watered their flock. He helped them. Exodus 2:17. Exodus 14, verse 30. The Lord saved Israel the day out of the land of the Egyptians, and Israel saw they were saved. Alright? Exodus 14, 30, yeah? Numbers 10, verse 9. Numbers 10 and verse 9. You shall be saved from your enemies. Saved. Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 4. To fight for you against your enemies to save you. So far, we have seen enemies, right? Enemies. Deuteronomy 22 verse 27. And he found her in the field and betrothed them, so cried, and there was none to save her. Deuteronomy 28, verse 29. And no man shall save thee. Deuteronomy 33, verse 29. Verse 29. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, who is the sword of thy excellence, saved by the Lord? So now notice what this is about. Jesus was given the name of Joshua in a proper way. What does Joshua represent? Joshua represents the man who took them to the land. He took them to the land. I wish I could go through what I explained in the first service, but I can just go very briefly. That the land, when we read Genesis 2, 8, 9, to Genesis 3, the Garden of Eden, I think it was Ganan, Garden Eden, an enclosed place of luxury that has the tree of life. Then the land God promised to Abraham. Genesis 12:2-3, Genesis 15:5-8, Genesis 17:4-6, Genesis 22:16-18, and all of that. Genesis 28 also to Jacob. The land is also described as a people. Then when you get to Isaiah says the land is God himself. Jerusalem, Zion, he now calls a person. Isaiah 40:3-9. So that land is now called a person. I said the word El Shaddai. Shaddai means a wide land. El Shaddai is a wide land. Why were they using land? Because land was the clearest parable for those who were agrarian farmers who dealt with land, produce, agriculture. So, you shall call his name. So what does Joshua represent? Joshua represents the man who took them to the land. It was Moses who saved them. It was Moses that God sent. Okay, through the waters. I took them through the waters. Okay, but it was Joshua who took them to the land. And so John the Baptist, Mark's Gospel chapter 1, John the Baptist goes deliberately to Jordan, Mark's Gospel chapter 1, verse 4 to 5, to baptize. As he takes them to Jordan to baptize, two things they know. Jordan was how they entered into that land. Listen well. Stop writing. Thank you. This is the land. Oh, the day when we get to the land, we shall be free from our enemies. Now they're in the land, the enemy is there. So they're waiting for a Messiah. John says, well, the Messiah is here. And John is supposed to point out, not to a land, they're already there, but to a person. Are you following this? John now goes to Jordan deliberately. Why does he go to Jordan? Jordan was where they crossed into that land. That means John is saying the kingdom is here. We are at the very border. We are close to the coming of the Messiah. Who's following what I'm saying here? So all those things were understood. Okay, so he takes them to that border, saying that we are there now. So when we find out what the land one is found in God himself, because he is the Almighty. So, when he says, you shall call his name Joshua, it was clear to Joseph. For he will save his people, not enemy now, from their sins. How were they saved? They were taken out into. Can we also say he will take them to the promised land? Huh? Can we? Come on. Very good. Because John the Baptist is the Melech, or the Malach, sorry, who is the messenger that will go before my face. Exodus 23:20. Malachi 3:1, Isaiah 40:3, who will go before my face? To before my face, before you enter into the land. Now, when John came, prepare ye the way of the Lord. A voice in the wilderness. So the land has been replaced by who? By who? The Lord. Behold Israel or Judah. Behold your God. So the use of land was a parable. The land is God himself. He is their possession. He is the prized possession. Say, God is my possession. I didn't hear you. Say, God is my possession. So he's giving a name of a man so that they will know what he's doing. Is that very clear? But that name, again, is not his name. Pay attention here so you don't misquote me. That name is not his name. That name is descriptive. So he's giving Jesus a common name. So be rest assured that there were many people in Israel who were bearing Jesus, Yeshua. So what was important, don't forget, it is Emmanuel, the man like who? God. So that means there are two things happening. There is a man, Yeshua, for God will deliver. That's what Yeshua means. God will deliver. Okay? Then you now have Emmanuel, God with us. Man like God. I didn't say a man like God though. A man like God. When you say, well, that the light is a sun, it has a sun-like image. That is, it makes you see it reflects the sun. So, a man like God is God reflecting man and God at the same time. So Jesus is a common name that God bore to show his mission on earth. Don't forget, Joshua saved from their enemies. Eventually, you know it wasn't Moses who saved. It was Joshua who took them to the land. Joshua saved from the enemies. Jesus saved from sins. If you observe Zechariah's prophecy, now enemy is here, and it's correct because sin is an enemy. Let me save in brushes. In Luke 1, Zechariah said, verse 68, the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, as spoken by the mouth of his prophets, only prophets which has since the war began. 71, Luke 1, that we should be saved from where? Our enemies. And from the hand of all those that hate us. That's Yeshua. Now, so when Jesus said, so that name was given to him deliberately. When he says, in my name, he will cast out demons. Why would you say in his name? Why? In my name you cast out demons. Mark 16:17. Repentance, Luke 24:47, and remission of sin will preach in his name among all nations. John 20, verse 31. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life through his name. Through his name. John 14:12-13. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. So what name? Let's view what Paul says about it. Philippians 2. Exodus 6, don't forget, verse 3, turn there to 2. Exodus 6, verse 3. I am that I am, or I am the Lord. By my name Yahweh was I not known to your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but by Almighty. Exodus 3:14. What name do I give you? I am that I am, and I will be what I will be. Exodus 3:14. So, Paul, Philippians 2, let me stir up your pure minds a little bit. Philippians 2, Paul is talking about unity. in the church. I'll start from verse 1. If there be any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies, verse 2, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better. Watch that. Esteem other better than themselves. This is against the principle of self-love. Self-love is not Bible love. Okay? Or God's love. Esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Listen well to this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. So Paul is about to tell us the example of what he's talking about. Yes, we have one spirit. Verse 1. We have one Christ, one love, Lord. But then he says, look unto every man better. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, Paul, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's very, very old English. He did not hold on to his divine attributes, but made himself of no reputation, emptied himself, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Can you see it now? Homomotis in the Greek, likeness of men. And being found in fashion as who? A man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So, this already opens up the concept of Trinity for us. That we find same persons in God. Then he says here, this is how to learn unity and humility, looking at God. Remember, the very first time you find man and God being described together is Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our selem. And what did he make in his image? Male and female. Male and female, who are mankind, but then one is head, and they are still the same. So he says, let us make man in our selem after our likeness. Paul reflects this here by saying, look, wherefore God had highly exalted him and given him a name. God has highly exalted him, pay attention, and given him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. He doesn't even mention, he's not saying the mention of Jesus, he said the name. Every knee shall bow in heaven, in earth, and under the earth. And every tongue shall confess what? That Jesus Christ is Yahweh. That's the word Lord. Kurios is the Greek of the word Adonai, used in a lesser form by the Hebrew scholars, but the word Yahweh, to the glory of God the Father. It is the glory of God. Now, where is Paul reading from? Isaiah 45. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? Isaiah 45. Before we get to Isaiah 45, I'm going to read from verse 21. I'll read Isaiah 42. I am the Lord, verse 8. That is my name. And my glory, I will give to no other. That means, I will give my name to nobody. Is that very clear? Are you there? I'll give my name to no one. I am Yahweh. And that is my name. My glory I will give to no other. But in Isaiah 45, Paul is now telling us that God gave that glory to Jesus. Now, pay attention. Isaiah 45. Take ye, or the power that gave it to Jesus, and bring them there. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from the time? Have I not the Lord? Is there no God beside me? A just God and a Savior, there's none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved. All the ends of the earth, I am God, and there's none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return. Unto me shall every tongue swear. And verse 24. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength, even to him shall all men come, and all thy incense against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified, and shall glory. He says, unto me shall every knee bow, and every tongue shall swear. My name I will give to no other. Paul, therefore, has opened up what we call God, or the Godhead, sorry for that. And he reads it by saying, well, God became a man, and his name is Jesus, Yeshua. And then he's given the very name of God. Has God shared his name with the man? Yes, the man is himself. I won't share my glory with any other. But he, in the resurrection, what has he done? He has affirmed in that name of Jesus that the man who came to die for our sins is God himself. So every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is who? Yahweh. The one who appeared to Moses in the wilderness and to Abraham. To the glory of God the Father. Paul in 1 Corinthians 8:6, he says, to us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, verse 6, 1 Corinthians 8, and we in him, Paul is reading Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. So the God of the Jews, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord Jesus Christ, is what we call today the Trinity. And so looking at that communal spirit, communal love, one preferring the other to himself, acting as one, they are always seen as one person with personalities in one person. Paul says that is how we learn unity. Preferring the other to yourself in love. So, when we say the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus is God. That is the name. Jesus again tells us what he came to do. As God. That's his name. No wonder in John 17, he says, glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world began. John 17 verse 5, with your own self. God had become a man. He bore man's name, Yeshua. He shall save his people from their sins. But his name is God. Let me see if you understand that. Is it very clear to you? His name is God. So when we say, at the name of Jesus, we're saying Jesus Christ is God. Hallelujah. Is God. Is the I am. At the name of Jesus. Was above all names. Show you that that name is the name of God. So God in Christ. God in the Son. Bears a man's name. Yeshua. Why? So that we will know an exodus is about to take place. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? But he saves us to who? To himself. He is that land. John points him out, but he is the land that we go to. We go from sin to God. We go from darkness to God. We go from ourselves to God. He is our promised land. He is our precious possession. In the name of Jesus simply means in the name of God and all his promises. The name of Jesus simply means we're in union with God. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus simply means he has forgiven us our sins. The name of Jesus simply means he has carried out his promises because he is God. Hallelujah. Are you there? He is God. That's why when Paul writes his letters, he says, grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You've seen that throughout his letters? Huh? All his letters. Grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That is not a greeting alone. It is a message. God has become all that we want. Father, Son, and Spirit. Oh, God is, pardon me, all that we want. Father, Son, and Spirit. In that land, we are content. The writer of Hebrews says, be content with such as you are. For he has said, are you there? Will never leave you, nor forsake you. So the land promised is God himself. God didn't promise us a thing. God gave us himself. He is the land. So at the Jordan, John the Baptist is saying, God is about to show up. But what disappointed folks was that he showed up as a man. Hallelujah. The man like God. The man like God. He shows up as a man. And so, his name is God. God who became a man. And all the synoptic writers were direct in Matthew's Gospel chapter 1, verse 1. Matthew's Gospel chapter 1 and verse 1. The book of the generations of Jesus Christ. Genesis. That word simply is the word Genesis. It's the Genesis of Jesus Christ. When we read Genesis, it's the Genesis of Jesus Christ. That's why the first thing we see in Genesis is disorder, chaos, light, and, sorry, darkness. Genesis 1-2. But what is the Genesis of Jesus Christ? Or let's say a new beginning of God amongst men. Or let's say God's recreation. Light out of darkness. Matthew 1-1. Genesis 1-1. What else? Mark 1. We read that earlier. The book, Mark 1, the beginning of the Arche of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Which means, we're reading Genesis again, we're reading the Gospel. Luke's rendering, slight different, but Luke 3, verse 38. Adam, which was of God, Luke 3:38, and Jesus. Adam of Jesus, oh yeah. Being full of the Holy Ghost. Luke describes Jesus as God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Davar, Old Testament, word of the Lord. Genesis 15:1, Davar is not just a speech, it's a person speaking and showing, having a real-time experience. Davar. I've touched that before now. The word. So therefore, John the Baptist is heralding the coming of God as a man. He will save his people from sins, but he will take them to himself. Remember? In the Exodus, he said, I will deliver them, from the hands of, then I will bring them to myself. Let's look at it. Exodus 6. So hear me very well. The core, I don't want to use the word benefit, but allow me to use it. The core benefits, oh no, terrible, take it out. It's sounding sinful. The blessing of the gospel is God himself. What did I receive in salvation? God. Exodus 6, I am Yahweh. Verse 3, I've established my covenant to give them the land of Canaan, the land of the pilgrim, where they were strangers. Look at verse 6. I am the Lord, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. One, that's the first thing. I will lead you out, I will bring you under deliverance. Alright. I will rid you of their bondage, I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and of great judgments. Let's take verse 7 together slowly. I thought it was in land. get to the land and build houses. No! Let's take seven together. I will take you to who? Me! For a people. I will be to you a God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you from out on the border of the Egyptians. Watch this. I will bring unto you the land concerning which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you for an heritage. I am yours. Hallelujah. Is that very clear? So, what did God give us? Himself. He gave himself. Someone say, so what is in all this salvation? God himself. Hallelujah. Our precious possession is God. We are his precious possession. And he is our precious possession. So follow me right now. So at the incarnation of Christ, at the incarnation of Christ, watch this. Look at the emphasis. Matthew 1. You learning something? You learning something? So is the man like God, right? Is a man like God? So Jesus is not his name, right? Isn't okay, is his name. Cool down. Is his name. But it's not that name. You know, listen. When he says Joshua, it means he will do this, for God will save his people. So he's the name of a man that God will send. So because Jesus became a man, he was given Joshua. Are you there? Do you get it? But because he's God, he's now given that name above all names. So he bears both the name of a man and his name as God. Does it make sense now? So Jesus is his name. Thank you. God save us. Look at Matthew 1, you learning something? Are you learning something? Matthew 1 verse 20. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Look at that consistency. Is of the Holy Ghost. Luke's account is more descriptive. Luke took his own account from the mom, from Mary. So that it has the details. The woman can give you details. Details. Luke's Gospel 1. Verse 31. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. How shall this thing be said that none other man? The Holy Ghost shall come upon you. So we have consistently the word Holy Ghost. One other thing we are going to see. So that means the virgin conceiving is a sign. And to my dear fellow Catholics, she's not a virgin anymore. She had many children after. Amen. Above Jesus, down that Satan. It was a sign. A sign that this is God. The word Semion. It points to something else. S-E-M-I-O-N. M-E-I-O-N. Or the word off. You know, I told you that the sun, moon and stars. We do a study like that in the mornings. I did that study for you a couple of weeks ago about why the sun. And I told you there are two ways that God is revealed to men. Alright? Don't let me start it here. So we said the sun, Genesis 1 and 14, is for signs and seasons, days. Signs, off. It means it points to something else. We already know that the light of the world is God himself. Genesis 1:3. But the sun is a sign of it. And you know that the earth revolves around the sun, right? Come on. Come on now. It revolves around the sun. The earth revolves around the sun. The sun doesn't move. It's the earth that moves around the sun. Now, we didn't know that before. My science may change tomorrow. Scientists can change it tomorrow. Because they say, no, the sun jumps. I agree. But the sun is the light of the world. That's where the whole world gets light from. But the sun is not the light of the world. God is the light of the world. The sun is a sign of it. So a sign is not the real deal. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. I give you a sign. Which means that hypostatic union of God in the womb of Mary is a sign of something else. That God will abide and live with man forever. So the virgin birth is a miracle and a sign. Now, at the incarnation, so you pay attention. Something prominent in the incarnation was the consistent ministry of angels. We're going to get to it, but just pay attention. The incarnation had so much angels in manifestation. And one more thing, which I'll emphasize in this service. In Luke 2, let me just run through that for you. In Matthew 1, verse 20, an angel appeared to Joseph. Matthew 1, verse 13 again, an angel appeared to Joseph. Matthew 1, verse 19, an angel appeared to Joseph again. Very consistent. Luke's gospel. And in the ministry of Jesus, we also have angels, but Luke's gospel. Chapter 1, an angel appeared to Zechariah. Luke's Gospel 1:19. An angel appeared to Mary. Luke's Gospel 1:30. So we find an angelic ministry or ministry of angels prominent. I'm just going to add one more. That should be Matthew. Matthew 4. At the temptation of Jesus, Matthew 4:11, angels ministered unto him. Matthew 4:11. And Mark also records that. Mark 1, verse 13. So there's, in that union of God with man, we're going to find the ministry of angels. Say, I receive the ministry of angels. Angels are supernatural beings that help man to fulfill God's purpose in the earth. You don't have to see him. But because of what God is doing, God is with us. God is in us. We have the ministry of angels. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I can walk around in the city of Lagos today and say, well, we bless God. Angels are working. Amen. I'm not praying about angels. We're not told to do that. Angels are working. So how do you know? Well, I trust God. His angels are here. Hallelujah. How do I know? In the incarnation, angels were present. Strongly. Also, in the resurrection. Do you notice it too? At the resurrection, angels were all around the tomb. All around. When Jesus told those guys in Acts 1 that, you shall receive power, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and he left their side, we saw angels again. Hallelujah. And the book of Acts, many chapters in there, we see angels in there. Say, I receive the ministry of angels. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. When we align our words with God's word, we see angels act. Because the psalmist said they act into the voice of God's word. When you put God's word on your lips, angels act. Angels don't act for you. Or they don't act, listening properly. Angels don't act because you give them instructions. You don't have such in God's word. Angels act because you put God's word on your lips. So whilst we're not told to command angels, but when we put God's word on our lips, we are commanding angels. Hallelujah. So we have angels. Angels are there. You know, this week they assist you. Glory to God. I said this week they assist you. Oh, bless God. Oh, Lord, glory. Which means this week they're going to see the visible ministry of angels. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, they rescue, they help, they cause events to happen, they stop events from happening. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm not supposed to be conscious of angels. I'm supposed to be Christ conscious. Amen. When I'm Christ conscious, I'm also conscious that He has given His angels. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So let's see one more thing. That's our focus really is not angels right now, but I just had to say that. Amen. Luke's Gospel 1. What else? So that means what happened in the incarnation is God fulfilling His promise. Emmanuel. Man like God. God, Yahweh, coming to win over. That's why they were preaching. The word preaching is a persuasive word. It's persuasive. It's persuasive. Oh, thank you, Lord. Luke's Gospel 1:41. Luke's Gospel 1:41. Now, Mary, after she heard what the angel said, in 37, she said, with God, nothing will be impossible. Luke's Gospel 1:37. The word there is, no word of God is void of power. No word of God is void of power. She's referring to the scriptures. Then behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. That's what the angel said in 37. According to your word. And the angel departed from her. So she arose and went to the hill country in the haste, in the city, entered the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. Hallelujah. You know, it's good to, as funny as Zechariah was, his wife was cool to the things of God. Hallelujah. You know, listen carefully to this. In verse 36, your cousin Elizabeth has also conceived a son. Now, imagine when she saw Mary. Oh, Mary, hey, I have gifts for you. What about that? I have gifts for you. That's not what she did. As she heard the salutation of Mary, the babe in her womb leaked. Elizabeth being filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. She spoke out with a loud voice and said, that means she said it loud, blessed be you among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. How did she just know? That's a word of knowledge. Hallelujah. She's not in the flesh. Glory to God. She's not in the flesh yet. She's filled with the Holy Ghost. She says, look, well, it is this, that the mother of my Yahweh, my Adonai, my Kurios, shall come unto me. For lo, as soon as the voice of your salutation sounded in my ears, the babe in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is he that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things that were told her from the Lord. She brought the word of faith to her. Hallelujah. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God. She has it in her womb, but no, this is God, my Savior. Hallelujah. He has regarded low essence of the handmaid. Lo, behold, from the henceforth all things shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things. Holy is his name. His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed. See how they did it. This is a Holy Ghost meeting, right? Can you see how it goes? Can you see how it goes? She took it up from her. Hallelujah. It's all about good company. Imagine a gist company. Hey, let me give you gist. That's how I went to the doctor. They'll just go in the flesh. She knew how to react to the things of God. And then Mary went on. Look at this. He had showed strength with his hand. He has carried the problem of measure of their hearts. He had put down the mighty from their high seats. Exalted them of low degree. He had filled the hungry with good things and the rich. He had sent them away empty. He had opened his heaven, Israel, in the remembrance of his mercy. He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Hallelujah. And she stayed there 3 months. It's good to stay there. Hallelujah. Filled with the Holy Ghost. So two people, or you can make your friend filled with the Holy Ghost. She spoke. We said, common with the incarnation is the ministry of angels, but particularly being filled with the Spirit. Supernatural utterance. Hallelujah. I remember when I saw Brother Hagin. T.L. Osborne. Brother Hagin, T.L. Osborne, and Oral Roberts. And they were in a meeting. And they have tongues and interpretation. Like they were passing a baton around. So, wow, I like this. Hallelujah. I like this one. You know? And the Holy Ghost is on everyone. That is how the incarnation was announced. Glory to God. Being filled with the Spirit. Now, let us say something here. The first prophecy was by a woman. That's important, right? The very first one. Not Zachariah. He couldn't speak at that point. A woman. The first knowledge of the resurrection. Not just that. But we'll get to that one. In John 4. Who took the gospel to a whole city? A woman. In John 20. Who took the gospel to the apostles? Emphasis, the apostles. A woman. Hallelujah. Filled with the Spirit. Somebody filled with the Spirit. Luke 1:67. When are we going to name John? In 63. He asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John, and he marveled. And his mouth was open immediately, and his tongue loose, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt around them, and all the sayings were noise abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all that heard them laid up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father, Zechariah. Hallelujah. What else now? Filled with the Holy Ghost. And prophesied. Saying. Hallelujah. So being filled with the Holy Ghost, does it include to speak supernaturally? What about to know supernaturally? So you know what God is about to do. Hallelujah. 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 To know what God is about to do. We're not there yet. In Luke 1, Luke's Gospel 1:15. What did the angel say about John? He shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. That's by strength. How can someone be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb? Is he prophesying in the womb? Who is hearing him? No, let's explain that. Now, oftentimes when the Greek says from, the word is apo. A-P-O. From. From Moses and the prophet, apo. But here, the word here is ek, E-K. Plesetania, P-L-E-S-T, the word just for writing, you will understand it later. P-L-E-S-T-H-E-S-E-T-A-I, Plesetia, etai, ek koleas. Etai simply means afterwards. It will be filled with the Holy Ghost afterwards. The word even there is afterwards out of his mother's womb. So the word from there, rather than use APO, is the word EK, out of his mother's womb. That is, when he is out of his mother's womb, he will prophesy. Is it making sense now? That's what it means. So we have been filled with the Spirit, accompanying the incarnation. So, a great evidence of God's indwelling are supernatural utterances, being filled with the Spirit. Luke's Gospel 4:1. Let's take that one together. Luke's Gospel 4:1. Jesus, I wait for you. Let's go. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan. What do you mean, full of the Holy Ghost? That means he's speaking. He's preaching. Full of the Holy Ghost. John also, speaking supernaturally. Speaking of things to happen. Speaking of things going on. Declaring God's counsel. Revealing information. Hallelujah. Filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Look at the book of Acts. Acts 2:4. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 4:8. Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto the people. Acts 4:31. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke the word of God with boldness. Acts 4:31. Acts 6:5. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Acts 6:3, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Acts 7:55. Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfast into heaven and saw the glory of God. So, being filled with the Holy Ghost, does it include revelation? Speaking by revelation, seeing by revelation. Acts 9:17. Paul now, that thou mayest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 13, verse 9. Saul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, Acts 13:9. Now, Acts 13:52, I want us to read that one together. Acts 13:52, we have been seeing individuals, of course, Acts 4:31, corporately. Acts 2:4, corporately. Acts 4:8, individual, Peter. Acts 6:4. 4 and 5, or 3 and 5, the deacons, 7 of them, Acts 6:5. Now look at Acts 13:52. Slowly, let's go. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. That means a whole church can be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. So we can be filled with the Spirit. All of us. Come on, all of us. In this service. Is that possible? What about a whole family? Is it possible? Believers living in the same room? Is it possible? In the same car? In the same office? Is it possible? Glory to God. All filled with joy and the Holy Ghost. I forgot Acts 11:24. A good man, full of the Holy Ghost. Barnabas. Hallelujah. Full of the Holy Ghost. That's why Paul gave the instruction, Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine, we're in excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Filled with the Holy Ghost. I'll close here. Which means that the incarnation of Jesus, or the union of God in man, was announced by utterances. It was announced by utterances. No wonder when people got saved in the book of Acts, supernatural utterances was also a sign. Hallelujah. Being filled with the Spirit. And God wants the whole earth I was going to teach that, but time has gone. To be filled. Which means that we all walk in revelation. Supernatural, bold speaking. In this week you walk in revelation. Hallelujah. You walk in revelation. Revelation of the Spirit. Revelation of the Spirit. How often can you be filled? Paul says all the time. All the time. That means when you're alone, you can be filled. When you're believers, you can be filled. Hallelujah. Filled with the Spirit. When believers meet, they can be filled with the Spirit. Well, let's discuss the problem of this country. Let's talk about what's going on around. Let's do this one. What about let's be filled with the Spirit? Hallelujah. When we're filled with the Spirit, we align ourselves with God's counsel. We speak and see what God is doing in the earth today. Hallelujah. We can start by speaking in tongues. Acts 2:4. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Can we do that this afternoon? Let's go ahead and do that. Come on. Let's be filled with the Spirit. Let's be filled with the Spirit. Just start to your feet if you can. Let's be filled with the Spirit. Let's be filled with the Spirit. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking. Come on. Speaking.